Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The good news is that the government has unpaused the Johnson & Johnson vaccine trial. Joining us on the line is Professor Linda Gale-Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer of the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Fine, Howard. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. A lot of skepticism, all right, and it's maybe a lot of it's coming from me, so I'm going to own it. I found the whole process around this Johnson & Johnson pause to be mystifying. And the reason that I say that is it's all very well for us to follow the American model when it suits us, but the Americans, because the FDA did pause it for a while as well, but the Americans have alternatives, and they've been vaccinating millions of people on an ongoing basis. We haven't vaccinated anybody effectively. Under 300,000 is not a success story. And the damage that it's done, which I'm concerned about, is it's created more nervousness or hesitancy in the market. Maybe you can give me, so that's my thoughts. That's where I sit with all of it. I'm perplexed. I'm bothered by it. I don't trust it. And I feel it did more harm than good. That's where I sit on this whole thing, the view on it. What do you think? Give us your thoughts as somebody who is involved in the field, has worked with people in terms of HIV management. What's your thought?
You know, I mean, I fully understand the frustration and the impatience and maybe even the mystification I share. As a scientist, I share some of that, you know, as a public health specialist, particularly. Maybe as a scientist, I kind of understand, you know, the process that often this kind of thing has stops and starts as we figure it out and get to a point where, you know, where we feel comfortable. As a clinician, you know, somebody who takes care of people who are ill, I do understand the real sort of difficulty around the risk-benefit ratio. So what I think happens here is we understand the value of vaccines. You know, COVID has really been a terrible pandemic. People have died. So we understand the risk. What we now need to weigh up against that is, are there any clinical risks of giving the vaccine? And, you know, we need to weigh that up and then come to a consideration of, is the risk and the benefit in favor of the vaccine? And certainly in my opinion, it still sits very favorably, very, very favorably in favor of the vaccine. But I think we had to kind of get through that journey. I agree with you. Our urgency here is so much greater because we don't have a lot of options. And we're so behind the curve. And so I think, you know, in some ways it meant we had to make those deliberations very quickly. You might know that the FDA is still in their pause. You know, and I'm hoping that we're getting to that point now where very soon we're going to be able to get back on the road. I feel the urgency and almost, you know, certainly want to undo the damage that has been done by getting back to where we were. And, you know, getting as many people vaccinated as possible.
And the concern about the increase in fear, hesitancy, you know, I had a conversation the other day with somebody that actually I was left gobsmacked. And she said to me, no, she doesn't think she's going to be registering for the vaccine because people are dying from the vaccine. And also they give it to you at such a cold temperature that it can freeze your blood. It took my breath away because this is the kind of conversation that's happening. And her comment further was, I go to the clinic once a month because I've got high blood pressure. I'm actually not going to go when the vaccine comes in case they force me to have it. So when I listen to that and I'm hearing, I'm not going to take care of my health, because I'm scared about the vaccine. But the information that I have around the vaccine is obviously highly inaccurate. That makes me petrified, because how are we going to, and yes, on shows like mine and all others, we can talk and we can try and educate people and convince and, you know, people to move in this direction. But my worry is that we've taken a whole bunch of steps backwards with the recent, these decisions.
Absolutely right about that. We have to own that. And then we have to redouble our efforts to educate, you know, and try and cut through what is really, frankly, nonsense, what is conspiracy, and what is genuine fact. Because the fact of the matter is, yes, like many pharmaceuticals, including paracetamol, there are side effects and there are risks. And people need to understand what are the facts. And what, you know, what is the truth? And it's going to be up to us to make sure we get that good information out there. And yes, our job just got a whole lot harder. We're going to have to work so much harder to do this. But I don't see any other alternative. We just have to get on with that.
How do you think is asking a question here. Howard, how would you know if you were at risk for the blood clots until you have had the vaccine? Can you answer that?
It's very hard at this point, and I think this is what's contributed to some of the, you know, the deliberations. We've looked at the data very carefully. We are not seeing a pattern that allows us to say, oh, it's going to be that person or that person. It does look like women might be somewhat more at risk. It does look like these are younger women, so it may be something around the kind of immune response that is caused, but we don't have any clues. What I need to underline, though, Howard, is it's very, very rare. So, you know, it is something that is going to happen to very, very few people. And then people need to be aware of the early symptoms, because if caught early, it's treatable, right? So this is not something that if you get it, you're going down the road. So that's also important. So again, it's around awareness, but unfortunately, we're not able to say, okay, well, we won't put it in these people because they're going to be too much at risk, or we're going to use an alternative for those people. That may come out in the wash as we carry on, and we're going to be doing some additional bloods and blood tests in at least a subsection of the Sisonke group to see if we can get some clues and keep working at this. But at this moment, there aren't any obvious clues, unfortunately.
But also just to reiterate that in terms of the local trials, we have not seen any cases of these blood clots.
Correct. And so, you know, maybe in our population, it isn't going to be something that occurs. You know, the different pharmaceuticals act differently in different populations. We know that. So, you know, this is why we believe clinical research needs to be done on our shores, but also why, you know, we need to continue to be vigilant and follow up carefully. So what we've done in this week that we've been waiting, we've really strengthened our surveillance. We've strengthened how we follow up people. And so ahead of the national rollout, we will be particularly careful and vigilant to make sure that if there is anything going on, we don't miss it. And I think that's very important to reassure South Africans that, you know, we're absolutely supportive of vaccination, but we're doing this carefully and with our eyes wide open, so that we pick up anything, if indeed there is something to pick up.
And it is incredible, you know, just the range of people that I have spoken to, both on the show and doing podcasts and things like that. The wealth of knowledge and the level of our ability to interrogate the studies and all of the information that's coming our way is really something that as a country we should be very, very proud of.
I agree. I think, you know, we often punch way above our weight.
100%.
We're a small country, but, you know, I think we often lead the world, and, you know, we've done that in HIV and TB, and, you know, I believe again we're doing it in COVID. So, I'm also proud of what we are able to accomplish and recognize that we have a role in the global, you know, world. And for that reason, more than anything else, you know, I'm really hopeful we'll get our vaccine program rolling, and we'll be able to vaccinate South Africans at large as soon as possible.
Absolutely, and this is where we leave it on that positive note. Professor Linda Gelbecker, thank you for speaking to me, and thanks for having such an open and candid conversation, because these are the conversations we need to have in order to try and demystify, understand what's going on, and of course be supportive of it.